When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The parallel economy has empowered us to care for our health, well-being, as well as longevity. Likewise, for us pet parents who now have a place to go when it comes to keeping the family dogs, cats, even horses in the best shape possible. As a dog dad, I'm thrilled to be working with Pet Club 24/7, a company founded by two guys who lost dogs to serious conditions, including cancer. Pet Club 24/7 has an incredible array of products, including a line of supplements for humans, such as the Inforce Plus Corollius Versicolor and Inforce Corollius Versicolor with Reishi. My friend and colleague, Christina Ferrari, a cancer survivor herself, swears by it.
When I was diagnosed, the doctor in the emergency room told me, "You have 2 years to live."
Oh boy.
Along with the stem cell, I took these. I have been in remission for 8 years now.
For dogs, mush puppy treats are a fan favorite. Rex, you want to? Oh boy. He came right. Oh, there he is. They are also made with the Coriolis versicolor mushroom, which supports their immune system, according to hundreds of clinical studies. Here's Kristen Ludlow, National Vice President.
That strain does matter. We do have the most potent strain, and we also extract it in a proprietary way. And that's why we've been having such wonderful experiences with these products.
Mush puppies are made here in the U.S. There are no fillers. It's non-addicting. Your dog can't accidentally overdose. Go to drdrew.com/petclub247 for a discount off the list price. That is drdrew.com. PETCLUB247, Pet Club 247.
We're listening to the This Life podcast with Dr. Drew Pinsky and me, Mike Catherwood.
That's right. We're doing it this time. So check it out. Thanks for listening.
You live.
Hey, welcome to another This Life podcast. Hashtag you live. Don't forget to check out Google hashtag you live, and it will get you to all the latest podcast posts and news on your browser, right there on your browser. Just hashtag you live, and I'll tell you more things at the end of the show how to find us. But right now, Mike Catherwood in here.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, what's happening?
Oh, life is good.
I know you're very excited to speak to our guest.
I'm probably more excited than I've ever been to interview anyone.
Patricia Krenzel, welcome.
Listen, better known as, of course,
welcome to you and everyone, and thank you. I'm very honored to be with Susan and Drew and you, and I'm very happy, happy to be here.
You may not know this, Mike, but Patricia and Susan have become best friends.
That's what I hear.
They are FaceTiming.
I really, really like her.
Thank you.
A lot.
I saw you. Lesbian sex? What do you think?
She did a... calling out with Susan Pinsky. But did you see that, Patricia, I saw you defending Susan on Twitter today.
Yes.
Why? What happened?
What happened?
Wait. What did someone say?
Someone said something about Susan, and I'm just like, you don't even know her. And it actually stems back to, inadvertently, Phil, Dr. Phil,
oh,
a.k.a.
My Dr. Phil comment.
And somebody made a comment, and I'm like, they said something in that, forgive my mouth at the moment, the two things, in that derogatory about Susan. And I said, and then it went back to Dr. Drew,
uh-huh,
because we did a cast and with Susan, obviously it's her show, and it went back, and they were trying to backstab Dr. Drew, and it went back to Susan. And I'm like, the girl is the best, intelligent, funny, beautiful woman.
This is why we're best friends.
I know. It's good. She's your protector.
What are you wearing right now, Patricia?
I'm back on the fur.
The fur?
You're wearing fur.
I wish we had this on video.
Well, I'm not going out at the moment, but I do have company downstairs. So
right.
I like furs and top.
You're wearing a fur coat and a tank top. What's the weather like where you're at?
Right now, it's, in my very old house, it's about -10. Mm. So I'm only kidding. Not. So, yeah. It's like 50 almost over here.
Crazy.
All right. Well, it's the fur coat weather if I ever heard of it.
So, Mike is a big fan of yours. He's a Stern Show fan. He was also used to be on my HLM program, if you remember, Patricia, back when you used to be on. And I was telling him about your story, and I would hope you don't mind going through it again, your story about being thrown down the well and the bar fight and all this stuff. Could you walk us through that again?
Do I really have to?
Well, you don't have to go into detail. I was just trying to explain to people. I was a little vague about what happened when you were thrown down the well when you were in your young 20s, right?
In my 20s,
Just quick.
I'm going to just, yeah.
Yeah.
Go through chasers.
Okay.
When I was pregnant, I got punched in the face, and I was proclaimed dead twice. Then later in life, this guy threw me down in a well, and I sat there for over a week and change. What have you?
He just like see you walking and picked you up and threw you in a well, or did you have a relationship with this guy?
He was kidnapped. She was kidnapped by him, right?
Yes.
Oh my God. What part of the world was this?
In Long Island.
Oh my God.
I was just out. And then a couple of times, you know, you got it. Go back to the well thing. So what do you do? Do you ever watch that? What's that movie?
Schindler's List.
No,
Two
the
Girls,
trivia
One Cup.
Thing.
Quiz Show.
No.
Boogie Nights.
When the girl. Oh gosh, I hate this.
Goodfellas.
The girl did what? She was held captive.
One Flew Over the
Cuckoo's
Nest.
Anthony Hopkins.
Ah. Oh.
Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lamb.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. She's stuck in a well.
Same. Yes, she is.
Mine was not as deep, but yada, yada, yada. I don't like rehashing these kind of things.
Sure.
So anyways, yeah.
But that guy had raped you and held you captive and then threw you down a well. Isn't that essentially the story?
Basically,
oh my
gosh.
A lot more. And then,
then
you had a head injury with that, right? Were you hit over the head, or did you?
No, the head injury was prior to the well thing.
The head injury was the fight in the bar when you were pregnant,
right?
And then when she was declared dead, and her child was supposed to make it, and she had to put a plate in her head, and seizures, and all kinds of lovely things. How did you survive that?
I don't know. Every morning I wake up and I watch church and I listen to what they preach, and then I put on Bruce Springsteen.
Hey, Bruce can pull you out of some dark times.
Yep.
So what are you up to now? Like, what happens if the Stern Show doesn't come over to do an in-depth and embedded, what is like a typical day for Tan Mom right now?
What am I doing right now?
Yeah.
I did write a book, but my family said that they would disown me. At the moment, my parents are passing away, and so is my exes. And so moving all their stuff out of the house and doing shows, people want me on radio programs and doing photo shoots, but I'm trying to mentally get myself back together and teaching my older kids that they're not going to disrespect me anymore because I can't take it. So that really, my goal is the freshness with my older kids. I will not stand for it.
Are you still living with your husband?
He comes and goes, and no, we're divorced.
But I thought you were still...
You're officially divorced?
Not, like, totally on paperwork.
Oh, but it's over.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought you guys were still living together.
He comes and goes, as I said. I don't sleep with him.
But does he have a home outside of the home you live in?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Are you dating anybody?
No. I was dating this guy from the Cowboys, but...
From the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
What's the big deal?
Wait a minute.
Well, because that's one of the premier, American Athletic Associations. It's a big deal.
I thought it was an oil guy from Texas.
We don't run around and talk about it. I used to go out with a jet, but when I...
Mark Sanchez.
David Cadigan was one of them a while ago. And now Dennis Rodman is in a rat. Michael Jordan.
You dated Dennis Rodman?
I know all these people.
Did you have sex with Dennis Rodman?
I couldn't hear that. What?
Did you ever sleep with Dennis Rodman?
No, I was at a party at his house with a guy I was dating and in Newport, and he had this yellow Porsche. And then we went to a party at his house and his entourage. And then we all went out. But then when we were at the house, then he was doing drugs upstairs. And I'm like, no.
That's just not for you.
And he just thought I was really good looking. But these are people I know and friends. If I walk somewhere, it's not like we call each other every day.
Have you ever had sex with a celebrity?
No.
No. Oh. What is your status like now with Sal Governale?
I always liked him, but I'm not going to do anything. He's married.
Right.
And if he's sleeping on the couch, that's not my problem.
Is he sleeping on the couch?
Who knows?
I thought he and his wife were doing fine.
He's a great human being, maybe the greatest entertainer that's ever lived.
Well, Tamwop's the greatest entertainer.
He's really, really funny. We connect. I'm not going to interfere with his wife.
Right.
That's not my place.
You seem like such a sexual person, though. I find it hard to believe that you're not getting some now. Why, just because I understand you're going through some hardship with your marriage, you seem so sexual. I would imagine you're getting sex from somewhere.
No, whatsoever.
None.
It's called Mr. Finger.
Oh. You strike me as a sex toy lady. You don't have a vibrator or something like that?
I don't particularly care to discuss that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. I didn't mean to talk about something you didn't want to talk about.
I do, but it doesn't work. So there you go.
It doesn't work because you the batteries are dead, or you broke it with powerful vag use.
Okay, what is the purpose of that question?
That's all. That's the only way Mike knows how to talk. That's how Mike talks.
When I hear that a vibrator doesn't work, I'm curious if it got broken during use, or if it's just happens to be.
So I got some
Adam juice.
Patricia, what were you doing out in Newport Beach, California? Visiting with Rodman?
No.
Did you say you were in Newport?
Yeah, she could mean Rhode Island, I guess.
Well, yeah, but Rodman.
That was way back a long, long time ago with my first husband, and I wanted a divorce, and he wouldn't divorce me. So then I met somebody when I was out doing the show.
What show?
And I just.
What show?
Shows.
Oh,
just a collection. Okay.
And I didn't know you had a first husband. Tell me about that. How old were you when you got married to him?
Oh, actually, I was golfing in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what do you call that place? The mansion on Turtle Creek. So when I was golfing there, I got bored, then met somebody, then got on a plane, and then went out to California.
Uh-huh.
No, flew back to Chicago, then went to California, and that's how I met Gil. Because
that's your first
really, really rich guy wanted to go out with me, and I'm like, nah. You know, he really bored me.
Is this your first?
Like, if you go, no, we go into this great restaurant, and the owner sends over like an awesome bottle of wine, and the guy I was with, which I didn't care about, obviously. So he's like, oh my God, you know, like he got intimidated, but the owner of the restaurant sent it over and it was like the bomb. And he goes, I go, let's go out. And he goes, if we go into this club, I'm going to lose you. I go, no, 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 I'm not going to lose you. Well, obviously. So when I went into the club, I met these two girls, like, oh, pretend we know each other.
Uh-huh.
So I lost the guy in the Mercedes. I'm just like, go.
And so then, what you say is boring. What
two
is that?
Minutes later, that's how I met Gil. And that's how the whole L.A. Beverly Hills yada yada story started.
Gil's not your first husband. Gil's your first husband?
No, that was the guy I was with.
I see.
My first husband.
And when you said the guy was boring, what made him boring?
Good question, Drew.
Which one?
The guy that was
really rest. Any guy. If he is boring to Patricia, what does that mean?
What does that mean? Yeah.
I don't like what's boring.
Yeah. When you say the guy's just boring, what does that mean?
When anyone tells me what to do.
Oh.
So you don't like being told what to do,
right?
Never.
Never.
Even in the bedroom?
I raised myself, so that is a definite no-no.
She came from a rich family, I think, originally. Yeah, Patricia did, yeah. So what do you mean you raised yourself?
I raised myself. What are we actually talking about? A book here?
No, your life. Your life. Mike's never met you before, and he's very interested in
it. I'm fascinated by you.
Yeah. And so I was saying, you said you raised yourself, and so I said, well, I knew you came from a family that was pretty well off. Were they just not around for you? Not a trick question. You still there?
It was just a very rich situation.
But not a good one.
No, it was a lot of wonderful things, but lacking in a lot of different areas.
Got it. And you said your parents are passing away now? Are they? Is that true? Is that
no? They're like on chicken soup hill. Yeah,
they're on
chicken soup hill.
That's
yeah.
old, right?
You mean they're subsisting on mush?
Yeah.
Well, it is what it is. What are you going to do?
Do you have other siblings, brothers and sisters?
Yep.
How many?
Six
brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Do you have a relationship with them
still?
You get
along with them?
Yeah.
No.
How come?
Because I prefer not to. The only person I kind of like a little bit, and my brother John always.
Okay. Are you tanning still?
A little bit.
Yeah. What do you do when you tan? Like, do you go to the booths, right? The tanning salon?
Yes, this whole stupid thing happened because of it, yes.
And when you say this whole stupid
I spent my life at the beach. I'm from the Hamptons. I'm from the Key West. I'm from Cuba. All over the world. What is the big deal? And I did not stick my daughter in some stupid booth. And it really ticks me off because every time I hear a story about these mothers, a.k.a., that stick their infants in a car with an inch, even a a puppy dog, which, quite frankly, animals are better than humans today. So, anyways, they will stick them in the car, go shopping.
Uh-huh.
Nothing happened to her. Not a word. But
yeah.
I went global. Now, that is a great question.
I think it's because of
Dr. Drew.
Of your personality.
I want Dr. Drew to answer that.
What?
Why me?
Why did your story resonate so much?
Because of you.
Why?
Well, I think it was slow news. I think there was not a lot of going on back then.
Okay.
And the degree, even you look back at how dark you were back then, and even to you, it's kind of striking. You were so dark visually; it was sort of stunning. And you didn't seem to be aware of it at the time. And I think that's what attracted people's attention. Why it became such a story, it's hard to say. Does that make sense?
No.
No,
doesn't make sense.
How come a mother can go shopping for 4 hours, nothing hits the press, with an infant in a car with 2 inches, if that?
Yeah, you know what? Listen, you're asking actually a really good what you're asking is a really good question, and I've thought the same thing too. Like, remember when there was a runaway bride?
Yeah.
That was not a story.
Yeah.
Right.
The woman was manic. She was psychotic. She ran away. She got lost. She was confused. Oh, it's a runaway bride. National press. It's a runaway bride.
Right.
No, there are certain narratives. There are certain narratives, Patricia, that news just loves.
Yeah. It's just a little bit more unheard of, I think, because everyone has at least seen a child in a car.
It created a narrative that the news broadcasters love to hang on to.
Do you think, Drew?
And there was a visual piece to it too that also attracted eyes.
Do you think, Drew? And Patricia, I'll ask you. And I understand you're a humble person, but I want you to be honest here. Do you think maybe when people saw you on the news, you were just so there was such a high level of sex appeal that's what captivated people's attention? Is that you were so sexy and you were giving off such a unique vibe?
I was in jail. How could I have looked sexy?
You were in jail?
For 7 days.
Ooh. There's something hot about that. I mean, speaking as a straight man, there's something kind of hot about you maybe in like a pinstripe suit, like the cat, like the Hamburglar. Maybe some side
jail,
escapes.
Not prison.
No, they didn't have any pictures of that.
I didn't. Were you not wearing panties?
She's right. She's right, Mike.
No, I'm like, Gary, what the hell is going on?
Patricia. Mike.
All
that's
of a
Mike.
Sudden,
that's Mike.
I
Patricia,
am...
don't worry, it's Mike.
No, no, she's saying what was the hell was going on when she was the object of such attention.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Well, guys, I think guys and lesbians can't get enough of you. That's what it is. I mean, you'd be as good at explaining it as I can. Do you like that kind of attention, Tan Mom? Is that something that is appealing to you?
I think, and I'll speak for Susan and me, I think we like to
very
look
similar.
Pretty, but we do not want that kind of icky.
Sure.
Crazy
but,
attention.
But I mean, I have seen, you know, some pictures of you that you put, I believe in the post, that, you know, it was a bikini shoot, a little bit of a topless action, topless, you know, so...
From recently?
Well, this is from a couple years ago, right, Patricia?
Listen, every once in a blue moon, I think we all have, like, urges in ourselves that might, I'll speak for myself,
okay,
go a little over the limit, but then... You go back home to what you love, and it's just like a little bit of moment of freedom to say, in my words, F you.
Who are you saying F you to? Just the world?
So there you go. Is this what you want? Boom. And then goodbye.
I see.
Oh, okay. So you give us one little taste of the Patricia sexiness, and then it's like, hey, I'm out.
Yeah, because you can't get me because right. I don't want you.
Do you not want anyone right now? I get that vibe that you, even if the guy was a nice guy, good looking, that you're turned off to the idea of romance right now.
I would love to be with somebody that I could cook with, sit in front of a fireplace, and understand me and laugh and love my kids.
Weren't you with a rich guy from Texas recently? Was that the cowboy guy?
A couple, but...
A couple guys from Texas. I thought one was there oil guy.
There was nothing sexual whatsoever because it just didn't click. So I was just like...
Gotcha.
Did you go visit him in Texas?
No.
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 I mean, I've been back and forth.
Did he come visit you here?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And those were...
Did Shuli ever meet that guy?
Why would Shuli have anything to do with this conversation?
I thought he wanted to meet that guy.
He has done some pretty extensive coverage of you and been involved in your life, at least how it relates to the Stern Show.
Yeah, well, Sal always had to walk away because I think inadvertently his wife... I don't want to get in the middle of their mess.
Sure. What about...
And nothing ever happened.
What about...
We're all, you know what, think is that we all do crazy things, but reality isn't actually reality.
What is it?
Bold claim.
It's... The Stern Show is the funnest thing I've done, and they really have been good friends to me. I don't like recently what happened to Dr. Drew, and
what happened to me?
That declined me on a lot of other aspects.
Are you talking about the Mad Magazine situation?
No. You asked me a question, let me answer it.
Okay, well, it's hard to follow.
So, okay, we'll call in. Well, I have a life. And I'm not going to sit on hold for anyone. So there goes that notion as well.
Not even the king of all media.
Okay, so what else do you want to know?
I want to know more like Patricia's philosophy on living. This is a You Live podcast.
Right. That's a very good point, Drew. Advice for our listeners would be great.
Yes.
You're a woman who's lived such a colorful life. And I want to know, what are your recommendations to being healthy emotionally?
I wake up every morning. No, I go to bed every night and I pray for my kids.
Okay.
And my true friends. And when we speak to each other, we could sit here and go on and on about so many different things. But the most important aspect, I feel, is the closeness. And I do believe, I don't care what religion you are, church, pray, whatever religion you are. And listening to how to make your inner body better. And you learn to breathe and think it out. And my biggest concern is always my kids. But I have learned that my older kids, I have to let go, unfortunately, for the moment, because they're sidetracked.
How old are they?
You got to go. Meaning my oldest daughter. You just got to go.
What age are we talking about?
For the moment. And Okay, so I can't let all the negativity come around my little ones. And I have to focus a lot more on me. But when you're surrounded by negative things, and I tell my kids all the time, and when they come and hug me, and I feel tense sometimes. I'm just like, because, I don't know, I'm trying really, really bad to make it better for them. And I call them little ones. They're all little ones. This is so conflicting. Meaning, they need to understand. And I always tell my kids, from the moment they were born, stand tall. You stand tall in your beliefs and me. Even though I might mess up, we can get through this.
It's beautiful words.
And these are, how old are your older kids?
24, 22, 21, 12, and 8.
5 kids.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted. I'm out of wrinkle cream.
You're out of wrinkle cream. You don't need it. I thought, I don't know how you could have a 24-year-old child. I thought you were like 30.
Everyone says that. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Gosh.
Yeah. I can understand why everyone would say that.
All right. Well, shall we wrap up?
Yeah. Patricia? I want to say from the bottom of my heart, Patricia, it was such an honor to talk to you. I've been such a fan for a long time, and I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to talk to us.
Please. Our Facebook fans are a little discouraged. They think that we're making fun of her. But I want to ask, Patricia, do you feel like we're making fun of you?
No.
Okay. We want to make that straight.
Yeah,
it's
straight.
That we had no intention of doing that. We're not, you know, we're not trying to.
Who said you were making fun of
some angry, jealous people, Patricia?
Well, when I can see the feed during the, you know, the Facebook Live, and, you know, people are concerned with the way, you know, we've followed you for a long time, and I think that as a woman, I kind of understand that you're not the average whackpacker, and you have a lot more going on than most of the average whackpacker.
I didn't even know what a freaking whackpacker was.
I know, but I think you get sort of the short end of the stick sometimes, and it's not our intention. I just wanted you to, you know, have a platform for yourself. And she has.
Well, that's why I wanted her to tell the story of where the horrible trauma.
It's hard to believe. It's so crazy.
Yeah,
okay, but we can send people to the Howard Vortex at drdrew.com, and they can hear the whole interview because she already went through that.
She did. I know.
She really doesn't want to relive it.
No,
over and
I know.
Over again.
Understandably,
it's so dark.
No, the Vortex. We got into great detail about her story.
She doesn't sound drunk.
No.
People are wondering if you're drinking, but I know your voice is normally like this because she's had head injuries before.
Yes.
I had to explain that.
Dr. Drew said a long time ago, oh, no, when what's-her-face, Dana Ramos, and he said, oh, forget the Tylenol and all that. No, I had a glass and two or one, but who cares?
Yeah, but you're not, like, you're not wasted. Your voice is
no.
Voice. Yeah, okay.
Susan, we all know that Patricia's she's well accustomed to dealing with the haters.
Yeah.
It's just going to happen.
We're not making fun of her.
No. Absolutely not.
No.
That wasn't our goal.
Mike is a huge fan.
There's very few people that I am more interested
in. Mike jokes around with everybody, to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, when we all go to Jersey, we'll go hang out with her.
I mean, how much do I talk about? First off, I'm in to what you just said. Drew, how much do I talk about your genitals and the activity around it?
You know, Patricia, she makes fun of me all the time.
Yeah,
it's my main point of interest.
He's addicted to sex. Patricia, it has nothing to do with you, but it's...
Now, I really, really want to just, since we're just sitting here for a second, who's talking fresh about me?
No, people are. You know when you're
social
on
media,
social
nonsense.
Media, and people are like, "There's always somebody that goes, oh, why are you doing this? This woman and blah blah blah." And it's like, you know what? I told him. I said, "We're not making fun of her."
My
"I said you're a very strong woman, and you've outlived you've dealt with adversity in your life and you're still alive and you're trying your hardest. I'm not making fun of you. So we appreciate the fact that you...
I never said you did.
No.
I want to know who said something about me.
Just some random person.
It's just random Twitter stuff.
Nobody I know, like not my best friend or anything. But I just want people to know that
You know what you need to do? Take a big bubble bath and soak your fucking head in it.
There's a soundbite for this show.
Get the chick that said something about me and let them all soak in a tub.
Soak their head in a bubble bath.
She told you.
All right, Patricia.
Thank you, Patricia.
Thanks so much. And you and Susan, I'll talk soon, okay?
Yeah, well.
Okay, I love you all.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That was Patricia Tanmom. I don't know her last name, but man, is she a real delight to talk to. I loved it.
Jiminy Cricket. Tanmom, Tanmom, Tanmom.
It's been about 4 months, and we're checking back in with Patricia. And you sound great, Patricia. How's everything going?
Everything's going really great. Well, a little bit of ups and downs on the movement in my home, but
what's that all about?
Moving out to Florida.
What's going on in your home?
It was just a big mess with my ex and everything, but. I don't want to get into a hole. I'd like to be happy, not talk about like the bad things.
Okay.
But
are you with your kids? Are your kids with you?
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Moving to West Palm Beach.
Wow.
And yeah, really excited. And I just was going through all these crazy things and then got back in touch with a lot of positive people and, great energy. And trying to keep, I just learned a lot about myself. I turned 50.
No, I turned 60 soon.
Oh, my God. Well, I hope neither of us look it. So, I got my lips done. I'm getting a couple plastic surgeries. So, just fun things.
Now, you put out a video, too. Was that the Stern crew that put that video out?
Stern put it out, as always. They're, best friends. And, feel to be, I'm sorry. I'm just, like, rushing a little bit. Free to be me, which is based upon, letting go when I turned 50, just to be me, where everybody, with this whole tan mom. But it does repeat itself in the song. But, it really was about just saying goodbye, and turning a new leaf.
Wow.
Love it.
And, yeah.
And is that goodbye to your life up in New York or New Jersey? Or is that goodbye to your your ex-husband? Or goodbye, hello, goodbye to what? Goodbye to Tan
Mom? Goodbye.
Goodbye to all that.
Just goodbye. Yeah, just really don't like negative people around me anymore. And I never did. But I really made a motion to make my life different and not try to let people bring me down all the time anymore. Like, I just have to just keep being me, and funny. But I'm really, there's a lot more to me that people don't get, which brings out Feel to Be Free. To be me, Patricia Marie. My name, just because I like to tan doesn't mean, I'm just a tan mom.
Right. So. I get it. Now, I had thought your husband helped you, your ex-husband, had helped you out a lot. Do you miss him in your life?
Not whatsoever.
Really? And your kids, do they miss him?
No, we see them. We see each other.
Okay. So there's still contact
and stuff. It was over a long time ago. Even if you and Susan have your... We all do in life, but it's a matter of treating somebody in any relationship with respect, because then you start slumming down and becoming not yourself. You got to be uplifted and be yourself.
Patricia Maurice, spitting inspiration.
I know, you live.
You live, Patricia. So are you still friends with Shuley?
Oh, my God, I love Mick Shuley. What, are you crazy?
Well, I thought you were getting
fed coming
up.
Out.
Last time you were a little bit getting frustrated with him, you know.
A little bit. But no, everyone, no. Mick Shuley is actually going to be coming out. Where are we going? To Florida to do. He's going to be showing up in the video, too. So, you know, he turned out, you know, we made up. You know, we all have fractions in life. So,
how about
just have to get over them.
How about Sal? You get more contact with him?
He always will be my best friend. I love Sal. We have our friendship, which is awesome. It's just that I don't want to get in the middle of somebody's marriage or anything. Nothing ever happened either. I'm just saying, like, I always will care for him. But, you know, who has time for all that anyway?
Then you're down in Florida now anyway. And I still am, gobsmacked, as my British friend would say, by your text. I still don't understand all the emojis that you get your head around. The dancing lady and the high heels and the poops and the volcanoes and
Stephen Adler does that too.
And the church steeple. I don't, my brain doesn't work like that. But are you still doing those very creative texts?
I think you're separated at birth from Stephen Adler.
Everybody like trips out of my emojis. Howard wants to get his own emojis now. But when I get aggravated, that's the stamp. Or I'm happy. You know, I'm very all over the place. Well, Dr. Drew, you know that.
Yes, Doc. I do. And I think the emojis are the deepest expression of that.
Yeah. And then when I'm happy, I put the smiley faces. It all depends what mood I'm in. And then if it's raining and you're picking me off, then there goes the mean. Or if I feel like I'm going to throw up because people are aggravating me, there's the bark sign. You know, I have the bark working. And then the anger faces. The high heel one is when you pick me off or stomp. I made my statement. Now go away.
You're stomping your heel. Putting down her foot. Yeah. Putting her foot down.
Yeah.
Literally.
A flip-flop doesn't work.
Let me ask you something. I want to ask you a really serious question. And that is, you know, you said you're all over the place, and the emojis are sort of a reflection of that. Is some of that all over the place stuff left over from the head injury, do you think?
I definitely will always base a little bit on it. But I have come so far. I just, you know, I have to say, honestly, when I'm around bad people and that are mean and not like positive,
yeah,
I go into not a great zone.
I swarm myself
with health and positive thoughts.
So let me ask, because right now you sound amazingly good right now. And I'm wondering, when you're around these bad people, do you end up drinking, or what do you end up doing that puts you in a bad way?
No, the whole drinking thing, it just, there will always be a little part of that in my life some ridiculous way. It doesn't have to be, but it doesn't make it a hard thing. It's like, it's a grape. So what I used to be and what I am today, but no, I don't want to base it on that. When I'm around all those people, no, I do not feel good with myself. I don't. No, because
does
I have
that
this,
make
like,
you,
higher.
Does that make you depressed?
I have a higher energy in me today at 50 that makes me not do bad things anymore.
Well, I hear it. I hear it in your voice, and I hear it in your thinking. But I don't quite know what those bad things were. That's what I was just asking about. When you get around those bad people, what are the bad things you do? Is it just you get depressed? You get anxious? Do you drink? What happens?
I get very sad. It brings back doesn't bring back bad memories per se. It just it makes me angry. Like, why can't people just be nice to each other?
Right.
And then when you see what goes on in the world, I mean, you can go on with this forever, as you well know.
Yeah.
It's all that negativity. Like, why not sit around with your family and stuff like that instead of, like, you just see people going and shooting people. I just, the whole, no, that's turning a curb, as you would say, or something like that, off the question. The question is this there's a lot of bad things in the world. So I've learned how just to grip myself into the most positive way I possibly can and drink tons and tons of water.
Oh, that's good. Water's good. You won't get dehydrated that way.
We'll get you some Hydralyte.
Oh, yeah. We have the sponsor that we really like that's really good for hydration that they'll send you.
I love every kind of water there is out
there. Well, this is more than water. This is a really hydrates. This is when you, so you get in that Florida sun, you'll be good.
Yeah.
Or your tanning booth.
Yeah. You don't need the tanning booth anymore. You live in Florida. You don't need the tanning booth
anymore.
There's
real vitamin D down there. That's what's happening.
Well, listen.
And now that's another thing. I don't even can, like, as much as I used to either. So
it's all good.
I'm, like, totally great about myself now.
You sound better.
I'm more concentrated on, like, moisturizers and, oh, my God, everything. Like, feeling really smooth and great. And I just need to exercise a little bit more, too.
I'll do that. We'll do that. It gets important as we get older.
Getting out
trust
of New York
me.
Is sometimes a positive thing for people.
Well, wait, where was you were in New Jersey, weren't
Jersey,
you?
Jersey, yeah.
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 I'm from Long Island, but I lived in New Jersey. Don't tell anyone.
Well, listen, you sound great, and it's good to do this little check-in
with
you. And I appreciate you, you know, spending a little time with us. And we look forward to whatever the future holds for you. I personally am a huge fan of when you show up on the Stern Show, and I know it's a little hard because Shuley starts doing imitations, and Howard's talking to Robin.
Oh.
And you know.
Oh, I know. It's all good because it's just comedy. That's the thing people don't get sometimes.
That's right. It's comedy.
And sometimes it aggravates me. When I call in, I'm like, how dare you?
But that's part of the comedy. You're having a real reaction, right? And so,
right.
Yeah, and so it's shit stirring also. It's shit stirring and it's comedy, and that's what people love is that genuineness of the whole thing. So, all right, Patricia. Yeah. Well, listen, you take care of yourself. So, if you're in Los Angeles, you got to visit us, all right?
Yeah, and also, can we play?
Okay, I definitely will.
Can we play some
love
of
you guys.
Can we play some of your audio from your
video?
Oh, go ahead.
Is that okay?
Is that okay if we do that?
Of course.
Okay.
Okay,
right.
we're gonna put that on.
Who has it?
It's on YouTube. I just saw it this morning. It's funny. My favorite part is you and the sun. That's so funny. It's really funny. So
wait, which one?
I don't know.
The new one or the old one?
Well, I don't know.
I know. You're gonna have to send
maybe
us
maybe I watched the old one.
I need all your versions,
this
Patricia.
This is the old one.
Okay, what's the new one?
Okay, go ahead.
We need all the new ones. We'll get all your stuff.
Is there a new one being released? Is that the deal?
Yes. You don't even know it?
I'll find it. I promise. I must have seen the old one.
We don't know which one.
They're all good to me.
It's in 3D.
It's in 3D.
Oh, my goodness.
The hologram of Patricia.
No, it's the new one. It's Feel Free to Be Me.
Okay.
All right, we'll find it. We'll tag it on
okay,
here.
Feel Free to Be all Me. Right.
Howard's playing it. Howard's
it. We're trying to plug you, Patricia.
I don't know.
All right, ladies. I'm going to sign out. You guys have fun.
And we are going to take a quick break and come back with everyone's best friend, Jason Ellis.
Well, it's about time for athletes, trainers to report for the start of the fall season, but we are still dealing with that extreme heat. So even if you're training indoors, dehydration is a major issue for amateurs and pros. Water, sports drinks, they do not do a great job. I've known this for a long time. That's why I wanted to develop a product. Instead, Hydralyte came along, so I strongly suggest you stay ahead of your hydration with Hydralyte. The best way to stay hydrated is with a proper balance of sodium, glucose, and water, and Hydralyte does this better than anything else I've tried. Everyone here swears by it, my wife, my kids, my patients. I use it if patients need rehydration. It's a way to replete hydration orally. This gets you ahead of the game, and so you can sometimes avoid hospitalization things, in my experience. Hydralyte comes in great flavors like orange, berry, and lemonade. Available as a pre-mixed drink, a powder, or my personal preference is these effervescence tablets. You simply drop in a glass of water or a bottle of water. Literally, we don't leave home without these. Compared to sports drinks, Hydralyte delivers up to 4 times the electrolytes with 75% less sugars. Hydralyte solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow instructions. This is the best hydration product out there, period, end. You can find Hydralyte at Rite Aid or at Hydralyte.com/Dr. Drew, D-R-D-R-E-W. And for a limited time, our listeners can save 30% on Hydralyte just sent my daughter over to buy this stuff. She's like, I need Hydralyte. I'm like, go to the website and use the code DrDrew18, DrDrew18 at checkout. That is HYDRALYTE.com, Hydralyte.com/DrDrew18. To use that code, get 30% off. You won't need any other hydration products. It's the best.
Welcome back. Dr. Drew putting in the eye drops.
That's right. My stupid dry eye.
On the phone, everyone's favorite person, Jason Ellis of the Jason Ellis Show.
Tamam.
Sirius XM 103. We just got off the phone with Tamam. It was amazing.
Well, I've never
amazing.
Seen Mike so happy in my life.
No, I saw some of it. I was watching you guys on Facebook. So
what happened to you?
I've had a really bad run when it comes to trying to get back in shape. Uh-oh. And long story short, I finally got to start training and everything. So I last week. So I just, been trying to be as smart as I can, taking it easy on my way back in, and I have jiu-jitsu every Thursday, and for some weird reason, he just says, do you want to just roll? And I was like, yeah, man, let's just do that. And it wasn't that hard, it wasn't that physical, but when you haven't done it at that level for 3 months, I can't tell if it's that, because I didn't feel it yesterday as much, but I have a problem from skateboarding where I've knocked my hips out so many times, and I think it's like a lot of tendonitis and maybe some stuff like that that's all in my hips. So it just locks up, and then I stretch it, and because I could go get a massage, but I just got all these little massage balls and all this crap, and I just ice it and stretch it, and somehow it comes good. It's just a little embarrassing and terrifying that it comes so quick now.
Why is it that? Because I know that you get so much out of it, not only physically. I mean, you got in incredible shape for your fight, but you get so much out of it emotionally and psychologically when you're training hard. Why is it that you intermittently take these big breaks? Is it just emotional stuff going on outside of in your personal life, and it just tears you away?
For the MMA, for the fight, I mean, I'm not a fighter, man. I got into it and I want to be tested. I mean, I'm actually terrified of fighting, and that's half the reason I had a fight. I mean, it's way more terrifying to plan it out. I don't know why I keep doing, at this point, I'm not sure why I train so hard. I for the first time in my life, I can kind of see that some of this stuff is a little bit masochistic, and maybe I'm doing it to like prove a point to people that aren't even here anymore. I'm trying to take it easy, but I don't know when it comes to that. I've always been a guy where I go hard and my body shuts down and I take a break. But for the fighting thing, after that fight, I felt like that was the biggest test. All I really wanted out of MMA was to prove that if I get hurt, I can keep going. So
yeah,
kind of just kicked back, and then obviously I didn't take testosterone. I think I told you, but I didn't take testosterone because I thought it was illegal to do that.
Right.
I didn't know that was only in the UFC. So I got staph infection, and then I quite frankly just lost a little desire because I was like, I'm well aware how stupid it is to try and be a pro cage fighter at 46. With my background, I know that. So,
what do you mean with your background?
Oh, my injuries. I don't have a normal 46-year-old man's body. I have a broken, when I was 30, I could, my knees wobbled around like I was 80. I'm a mangled man.
Right. How come, like, football player? I mean, obviously, football players, it's not hard to find reasons why they'd have brain damage. But how come it seems like athletes are starting to discover serious brain injury from a lot less taxing stuff than what a lot of professionals...
Did you see that new thing that came out that proved that, the big concussions is not the problem?
It's a continuous ongoing, little trauma to the head. Imagine guys like you and Danny Way and Vert skateboarders, especially from the past, you guys have had massive amounts of concussions. How is it that almost all of you are perfectly fine?
Oh, really? All of us are? I mean, I know this is like a show where people listen, but I don't really want to say it, but I don't think everybody's that fine.
Well, okay, but you like to make fun and everything, but like talking to you, it's clear your brain functions at a very good level. Like
I'm not talking about me.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe there's other guys in the game that I'm just not aware of, but
there are. It's you lose a piece, and yeah. Quite frankly, I'm still young. Like you don't know. You know, like I'm. You can get away with it by being a stoner your whole life, and oh, I don't know, I don't remember or something like that, but. Yeah, you know, I feel like for me, the older I get, the wiser I get. I like eat and put things in my body that are probably better for memory and stuff like that. So maybe it evens out, or maybe I've just never really paid attention to it. Like I don't have an education. There's no real. You mean what do I remember? I don't remember lyrics or songs. I don't remember books. I didn't read any, so I can't. Things seem to be going well. I know you just said that I'm having a conversation with you. Seems to be working, but I have seen other guys that are not as lucky.
Yeah. All right.
Makes sense.
Like, they don't remember stuff. They don't seem all there.
I haven't really talked to you since you got married. How's married life?
I talked to you once. I was on a podcast. Married life is awesome.
I'm not remembering.
Like else,
what did I forget?
What is Drew blame his brain trauma on?
Yeah, what podcast did we do?
You did the Dr. Drew podcast. I listened to it. You guys were fantastic.
That's since marriage?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like 2 weeks ago.
Yes, right. It was last month.
Right. I must have dropped off, popularity.
It was a holiday. I wasn't telling him about it. But thank you for doing this. Okay. I appreciate you doing two in a row with us. It's really nice.
I would do a lot. I can't believe you don't understand. All day, all morning, I'm just annoying my wife by like trying to touch my toes. And I mean, the jacuzzi, I got ice packs. Give me the ice pack. Give me this. Give me that. I'm like doing the I'm a cripple, help me thing.
No. Well, we just finished with Tan Mom, so you're by far ahead of the game.
And I don't want to keep you on the phone too much longer because I know that you are in that situation. But I found like everyone always asked me for a long time, especially in like the recovery circles. They're like, "How'd you handle getting divorced? How'd you handle getting divorced?" And then I sat back and I thought about it not too long ago, maybe a couple weeks ago, many many years now after being divorced. It was way harder to get married than it was to go through a divorce for me. Emotionally, everything that
what?
I had for me, the idea of having to invest positive energy into a relationship was so much harder to wrap my head around than trying to just rid myself of the negative ones. And I don't know,
had a rough go in the divorce.
I understand. I did not. I didn't. Yeah. My divorce was relatively amicable, but I don't know. Did you feel any of the same way, or is that totally nonsense to you?
It's total nonsense. I mean, getting married was fun.
Yeah.
Right?
It was. Obviously, I'm referring to my current marriage to my wife, Bianca. It was fun, but it also pressured me.
Did you have some bad times? Did you yell at your ex or anything when you guys got divorced? Or you
not really.
Nothing?
No, she left me, and it was like kind of out of the blue, but it was... It was just I've fallen out of love with you, and I hope I don't mean for this to be hard. I want to make this as easy as possible, and that was that. And I also didn't have kids, so it's a much much different situation.
So you're talking about kind of getting over a broken heart, then,
right? Which was to me a lot easier to deal with. I think from the kind of self-inflicting of negative stuff was the way easier for me to deal with than trying to develop really purely positive feelings of love. And learning, I had to love myself a little bit to be able to make a successful marriage go, and that shit wasn't easy.
Well, dude, Drew knows. I mean, your divorce sounds like a freak of nature. Nobody gets that kind of divorce. And to me, like falling out of love with somebody, that's nothing. Like the divorce is like, I got kids, man. It's a constant, you know, the angriest person in the world is constantly calling you. It's terrible.
Yeah, that does not sound good.
Are you guys doing okay with co-parenting now?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're right now, as it stands, we are doing exceptionally well. You know, we've had tons of up and downs, and I also think that my divorce on the scale of divorce is still not very bad. But I mean, I don't live where I want to live. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I'm run by somebody who I don't really, I don't hate her, but I mean, I don't want to hang out. I don't want to know her. And I live in sort of forever, you know, where she wants to live,
right,
to stay near the kids. You know what I mean? Like, if I really analyze that, that would piss me off all day. But it's just, whatever. The kids are happy. I don't care.
Your daughter is so funny.
Yeah, she really is. And your son is becoming more Jason Jr. day every single day. He's just becoming a shrunken Jason.
You know, he doesn't really, you know, too into moto anymore. He's trying to be a video game guy and a soccer player. Quit skateboarding and moto.
Wow.
Yeah. I actually don't have a problem with that. I think it's a good idea.
My wife's ex-husband made money hand over fist playing soccer, so maybe he can, as long as he can go down that route.
Yeah, I just think it's the community you're in, which is also a thing that I noticed. I think that's why that just was on the tip of my tongue. I feel like, you know, I mean, he's into the things that his community is into. So,
yeah, right.
And I can tell that it's sort of, I don't know, maybe it's a control thing that, well, you know what? Because I really don't mind. I'm like, dude, if whatever makes you happy. If you don't want to skateboard, I don't care. Like, if really, it's kind of a sketchy scene. But I wish that he had more opportunities that of the things that I was interested in. And if you live near Beverly Hills, they don't have that.
Right.
Interesting. Well, my friend, it's good to talk to
you. But he's a fun kid. He's having fun.
All right. Yeah.
It's good to talk to you, dude. I will see you tomorrow. I'm excited about being able to come in, and I want you to get some rest.
We'll get you back in here when your back's all, or your hips are back, or whatever the injury is all squared. All right?
You look good, Drew. I saw you on Facebook. You look good.
Thank you, buddy. Miss you.
Just saying.
Do I look like shit?
I mean,
what the hell?
For how old you are, too. I feel like we could do it, man.
For how old I am?
A couple thing again, but
for how old I am? Right there.
You look great. I mean, we could work it. I know your wife's listening, but I just feel like, no offense to her, you and I.
You guys would be such an awesome gay power couple.
We'd be the best power couple ever.
You're freaking huge, dude.
We got to do it.
I mean, if you want, you can still do her on the side. But, I mean, you know what I mean? I'm the man in charge. You know what I mean? Like, you got to come home, baby.
I understand, buddy. I understand.
I love
you
it.
Live.
We got to do it in the back with a Bane mask on, just barking out orders to Drew and Susan.
We got to do it. He and I have to do something.
Look, Mike, I hate to break it to you, but this stream doesn't involve you, okay?
I know.
So you don't
I know.
There's no Bane mask on. It's me and Drew make out face to face.
He's a passionate man. I'm sure there's plenty of him to go around.
I'll be at home jerking off to the thought of it.
Oh, my God.
We will allow that.
Well, it's not about we. It's whatever you allow, sir.
I love it.
Well, we're together, Drew. Yeah. Right. Whatever you want is what I want.
Fair enough, man.
Feel better.
Take care.
At Wolfmate on Instagram and I believe also on Twitter. Yeah, and you can hear him every day, 5 days a week, I should say, on Sirius XM 103, Sirius XM Faction Talk.
That was a kind of a mellow family day podcast.
That was
today.
Family day, Jason, yeah.
Yeah, it's family cool. It's fun to hear
it's
him.
Always good to talk
I
to
mean,
him.
It's sad to hear that he's in pain, but...
Mike, I wanted to mention our buddy Jason Ellis. His Ellis Mania is August 24th, 25th, and 26th, right? You'll
That's
be there.
Right.
I'll be there.
I'm fighting.
You're fighting?
Yes.
What are you doing?
Blindfold dog collar match.
Oh, my God. That's the best, my favorite of all.
I know.
It's the most brutal of all.
It's easily the most brutal of all.
So explain what it is. It's the
I'm
most
blindfolded.
It's the most beautiful, brutal, the most unbelievable, and the most hysterical by far.
I would say it's up there with Pinata.
Pinata's up there, too. I got to give you. So go ahead. Tell them what it is.
It is a fight where there's four contestants in the ring at one time, and you are blindfolded, and you are attached. There is a dog shock collar attached around your neck,
but not a little.
No, it floors you.
It floors
guys
you.
Guys literally fall to the ground.
Their body goes stiff when it really goes off.
You start flailing like a fish.
And they usually put the dog collar in the hands of somebody, some hot chick on the sideline or something, right?
Yeah.
Just somebody just buzzes you. And then you're fighting, and you're fighting blindfolded. And are you, is one hand tied behind you or something, too?
No. Just
blindfolded.
You're boxing gloves and blindfolded, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So I'm going to run around randomly getting shocked and just swinging at nothing.
And then getting swung and hit, too.
Oh, I'm sure, but
randomly.
Probably not very much because all blindfolded.
Have you studied that whole...
Yes.
There are four people usually running around there.
I understand that, but when you're blindfolded, it's really hard to clock someone, especially you know... In anywhere where it would really hurt.
Right,
you know, you're
enough.
Just flailing, you
fair
know?
Enough. So we'll be, and I'm singing the national anthem.
Yes.
Again this year, so.
So it's the second fight. It's after the lightweight musical chairs, and then shock collar fight is at 8:05 p.m., so everybody has to go.
What
by,
day is that, Friday or Saturday?
It's on Saturday.
Oh, it's all on Saturday.
The fights are all on Saturday.
Okay, Saturday night.
That's the big event.
There's like a trike race on Friday, and then some kind of a concert at the Hard Rock.
All of our Canadian friends, and I know there are lots of you because they all show up at the Hard Rock for the WrestleMania. I've never seen so many Canadians in my life in Las Vegas.
It's true. I've never seen more Canadians even in Canada.
Right. He's got lots of Canadian fans. Very interesting.
It's right before the female music chairs and the strip chicks. So you're in the pussy area.
In the window.
The first four are usually the pussy fighters.
I'm a giant pussy.
Well, you were in the ring with Jason.
I've been in the ring with Jason twice.
Yeah.
One time, I had one fucking hand duct taped to another human being and my leg duct taped to another guy. And then I just got pounded in the fucking face because I couldn't defend myself.
Yeah, you have just one hand.
The other guy's trying to punch and defend himself. And I'm like, no, give me my right hand so that I... And Jason just literally looked across at me and goes, well, there's a free shot. And just drilled me.
Oh, my God.
Drilled me in the face.
Oh, no.
Well, aren't you glad you're just singing the national anthem?
I'm glad I'm not working at his corner either. Is he doing a crazy fight? Obviously. What's he doing this year?
Jason's fighting
Kingsbury.
Kyle Kingsbury.
Oh, it's just the two of them. Now he's not going to fight 12 people this time.
You know, no, he's only fighting one man. But Drew, I don't know if you know this fella. We might need to. He's huge.
Yeah,
he's a former UFC fighter.
Why is Jason doing this?
Because I think so. I think he really is driven to entertain.
Okay.
I think he's really driven.
Anything he's trying to think of the most entertaining thing. All right. I get freaked out when I see those fights. They blow my mind because I get scared for my friends. You know what I mean? I get scared for you when you're in there. I get scared for him. And he made me sit on the corner with him one time when he was fighting. I mean, like he had like 9-10 fighters that one year, right?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Oh, and we'll see you next time. All right, that's about it for this episode of This Life. Check us out at KBC, being Lawrence Avon, 790 Midday Live Talk Radio, Monday to Friday. You can also tune in every day live via the magic of the internet at kbc.com. If you miss it, we've made it simple for you to find all the shows at drdrew.com, the Adam and Dr. Drew podcast, the Sing One I Do By Myself, the Dr. Drew podcast, This Life, of course, with Bob Swole Patrol, Mike Cantho, at his new health and fitness podcast. You can find us on Twitter at This Life Podcast, at Dr. Drew, Derry W, at Rehab Bob Forrest, and of course, our lovely producer at First Lady of Love. I think I know who that is. If you love this show, please subscribe and tell a friend. We appreciate it when you do. We'd love to hear your feedback as well. Send us a message, join the email list at drdrew.com, drdrew.com/contact. Also get a weekly email from us on that. While you're at it, at doctor.com, please support our sponsors by clicking through the banners. We only advertise products that I can get behind. So thank you for supporting them, those that support us. And thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.